Praise the Lord. Good morning. I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity once again to come here and be with you and share the Word of God. And then again, I thank the pastor and Debbie for welcoming me and keeping me and taking good care and feeding me chicken. And I like chicken, so KFC especially. So they had taken me several times to KFC. So thank you so much. I appreciate. We met around 30 years ago. And I thank the God that we're still friends. It's been a pleasure to be with you once again. I have been coming to this church for so many years. Do you remember me when I visited this church in 91? Do you remember? Anybody of you were there at that time? No. Heather. Well, then I came in 97. Do you remember me that time? 97. Remember me? Okay. Do you remember what I preached that time? No, you don't. Okay. Then I came in 2001. Are there anyone, those 2001? Remember me? Okay. 2005. Okay. Then 2009, I was here. Then 2011, Luke got married. So I was there, here for his wedding. Then 2013, how many of you? I think almost 2013, okay, not too far away, ago. Do you remember my message that time? Honestly, do you remember? No, don't laugh. Tell me, do you remember? You don't remember? Oh, what to do? I don't know. My goodness. Well, don't worry. I also don't remember what I preach. Then I called your pastor and said, do you remember what I preach? He said, no, I don't remember. Then I said, do you have a recording of my preaching? And he said, yeah. Then I heard what I preach. But since you don't remember, I might repeat the same sermon again. Well, now this time I have decided not to make any comments on anybody's driving. So I would like to go to the scripture. Because, making comments, I may not come back here again. So I should not make any comments about anybody's driving. But thank God that I'm in one piece so far. So I'm really thank the Lord. What happened one day? Pastor died and went to heaven. There was a member in his church. He also died and went to heaven. But pastor was very upset with God. He said, God, see, I was a pastor throughout all my life, and I served you, and I preached the gospel, and I helped people and all that. But see, a member from my church, he's having higher place in heaven. That's not fair. And God replied, said, your member from your church, he was a driver. And when he drove, people prayed. And you were a pastor. When you preach, people slept. But I thank the Lord that your pastor is a pastor, good pastor. He preaches well, and he also a driver. Good driver, I would say. When we met in seminary, he helped me a lot. And I was not able to speak good English. Still, I don't speak good English, but I tried to communicate somehow. And so one day I said, I cannot take good notes. Can you give me your notes? I will copy your notes and study. Then he gave me his notes, and I went home and opened it. I couldn't read it. So I had to call him. But he helped me a lot, and there was one time in my life that I thought I will not make it, I will go home. Then I prayed, Lord, if this is your will and you brought me over here to study the Bible and theology, please, you had to help me to get it done. And then he brought people in my life, and Pastor Wayne Krell, he was one of them who helped me to go through my seminary studies. And since then, we have been good friends, and I thank for his friendship and his love and care. I'm not going to preach something which is very new to you, or maybe you don't know all about that. You all know about that, but this morning, this message might be a reminder to you once again. So if you have your Bible, and if you would like to turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, and beginning verse with 16, it's about the Great Commission that all of you know about it. Matthew chapter 28, beginning verse with 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is about Great Commission. Please bear with me. I have cough for us. Several days. I'm on antibiotic, so maybe I will be coughing. Not that I would like to. not that I want to, but sometimes I will cough. So please bear with me. In my church, that helps some people to keep awake. But in my church, there is a clock. There are two clocks. One is on the left side, one is right front of here, so I can see the time. And then I was looking, I saw one clock right on the corner. So, I can. How much time do I have, brother? Okay. Will you still let me come next time if I preach 1 hour? Excuse me. So this passage is all about going. It's about commission, the mission that we ought to be involved in. So this morning I would like to keep four things before you. which is about the mission, involves mission. Everybody knows about it. But again, I say that this might be just a reminder to you. I'm not going to tell you something which is new or which you do not know. Your pastor is a very good preacher and he preaches well. I'm not that good, but I like to communicate and tell what the Bible says. It's not of my own, but what the Bible says, Word of God says, that I would like to share with you. Here in this passage, it tells us to go. Go where and why? Go to places where you can and where you cannot. Go and tell and share about Jesus Christ. And here we read that when they saw him, they worship him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit." So mission, first thing that I would like to share is that mission involves going. Everybody cannot go to India, I know. Everybody cannot go to Africa, I know. But some of you might. Some of you might be called, might have received that call from God to go. But we as a disciple of Christ, we as a believer of Christ, you and me have to go. No matter India, Africa, or Europe, but we have to go. Some people cannot go. Some people are not called to go abroad to a different country, but we all are called to go. Wherever we are, in our town, in neighborhood, in our cities, within the country, or maybe even outside the country. Because we have to go wherever. This church is very beautiful church, and AC and lighting and stage and this pulpit and everything is so nice. But we have to go beyond these walls wherever we are, and we have to share the good news of Christ to the people. It is like charging our cell phones. We charge it, and when it is charged, we use for a day or two according to our use. So when we come to church, it is like charging our soul. Get energy and power and strength from the Lord. Listen to the word of God, and then go. And wherever we go, we ought to be a witness of Christ. Not only through our words, but through our life. Wherever we go, that people might see Christ in us. So, mission involves going. In my district, our pastor, his wife invited one Hindu lady to their meeting. And that Hindu lady didn't turn up. The next time, the pastor's wife again invited her for a prayer meeting. She didn't come. Again, a third time, she invited her. And that lady came to the meeting, and she felt something different. She felt Lord's presence there. And then next week she came back again, Next week, she came back again and again and again. To make a long story short, that Hindu lady became a Christian. She was baptized, accepted Jesus Christ as her personal savior. And when she was coming to church and attending this prayer meeting, her husband opposed her. They had a big fight. He started torturing her, persecuting her. But she didn't quit coming to church or coming to prayer meeting. To make a long story short, she accepted Jesus Christ and she took baptism. And then she was facing more persecution there in her life. And her husband beat her many times. And then the society, they accused her. And they put her down. And they all were gossiping and talking and, things like that. But she didn't quit. Then one day she prayed, "Lord, I know you are a real God. You are a living God. And I pray that my husband, please bring him to church today. Please bring him to prayer meeting wherever we pray." And that day, her husband came to church. Something happened, something changed. And I don't know very detail about that story. But her husband came to church that day. And he also felt something different. And Lord talked to him. And he came back again to church. And he kept coming. And now, to make a long story short, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal savior. Amen. And so, mission is going. Mission is sharing. Going means not necessary to go somewhere. But wherever you are, you have to share. You had to witness and you had to tell who Jesus is. Maybe you may not be able to preach a good sermon like me. But you can invite, you can show the love of Christ. You can show that Christ through your life. And so this is how the mission is all about. Sharing, telling, inviting. Going means not necessarily physically go someplace. But wherever you are placed, you had to tell about Jesus Christ and win people. So mission involves going. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." I will be with you. I will be with you. So when we go, we are not alone. The Holy Spirit helps us because God knows that we cannot do this on our own. So he sends Holy Spirit with us so that we can witness. So mission involves going. In Acts chapter 13, in first four verses, it tells us about sending. It's sending. The church is sending people. I would like to read that, Acts chapter 13 and beginning verse with 1. "In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Barnabas, Simon." and Saul. They were sent away for a very specific reason. And that reason is evangelism, sharing Jesus to somebody else. So the church sent them off. So my second thought is mission means sending. Someone has to send. Someone has to go. Number one, that means you and me have to go. Second things, we have to send. We have to send. That means we have to help who has already in the field, who is already on the field serving the Lord. So mission involves ascending as well. And Holy Spirit also sends. Many years ago, missionary from this country, I have said this in the past, I would like to mention that again today. Many years ago, missionaries were sent from America to India. And those missionaries, they sacrificed their life. They left all their luxurious life and they came to India to preach the gospel. Why they came? Why couldn't they just stay here? And they might have said, well, we will not go, but we will send money to India for God's work. They gave their life because the Bible says, because it is command, because it is call from God, and they responded. The love of Christ compelled them to go. And they came and they shared gospel. Many missionaries, they died when they were on mission field. Many missionaries' kids, they died on mission field because there wasn't enough medical care in my country at that time. Why? The love of Christ made them go. They obeyed the word of God. They came over there. And that is why I am here this morning. Mission involves going. Mission involves ascending. We had to send. We had to support. And I am thankful for this church that over these 30 years, I would say, this church has supported our ministry in India. This church is a very missional church. Your pastor is a missional pastor, I would say that. Because I have heard that he's very much interested to go to Honduras. Maybe you went to Cuba also. And many other places which I do not know maybe. As much as we can do. And this church is doing that. This church is so responsive and responding God's mission because of their life, because of their prayer support, and their financial support as well. So mission involves going. Mission involves ascending. Then, if you turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 8, I would like to read that very briefly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and beginning verse with 1, I would like to read that. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trials, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able. and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in his service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectation. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, so see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Grace of giving. It's my third point is that mission involves giving. First, mission involves going. Second, mission involves sending. Third, mission involves giving. God's people only give for God's work, right? We don't expect other people to give. Why would they give? And even if they give, I wouldn't be happy, because they don't believe. They're not believers. Only God's people give for God's work. And mission involves giving. Mission involves giving. First of all, he expects us to give ourselves to him. And then he expects us to give for God's work. It's not like it will happen like God will say, Vinay, oh, you go back to India and whatever money you need to minister or for your ministry, I will put that money in your bank. And then you can use it. No, God doesn't function that way. God tells us, as children of God, we have to obey. And in these verses, in this Bible, it has told us to give. Somebody a few years ago, somebody said from my district, pastor, I said, yeah, in the Old Testament, tithe is commanded to give tithe. He said, yes, that is right. He said, what about New Testament? There is not much about tithing. So actually he wanted to say, well, I will not tithe, or it will be okay if I don't tithe. So that's why he was asking me. He said, in the New Testament there is not much about tithing. So what do you think? And I said, yeah, you are right. You are right. In the Old Testament, it is a commandment to us for tithing. But in New Testament, there is no specific command about tithing. But I said, in New Testament, it is written to give everything. And he said, okay, Pastor, I will tithe. Giving, tithing, and giving to the mission is important. One time, pastor said from the pulpit, that church, they wanted to build a bigger church, a nice facility. And the pastor said from the pulpit, he announced that, he said, praise the Lord that we have all the money that is needed for the building. And everybody started clapping and saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, yes. So everybody was clapping, and pastor said, well, listen, and then you clap, and then you say, praise the Lord and hallelujah. He said, we have all the money which is needed to build the church, but that money is still in your pocket. So do you want to say, praise the Lord now? So nobody was saying anything. Yes. We, as a Christian, we as a believer, we have to give. We have to give yes. And when we give, God provides our needs. God provides. I have not seen anybody who said, well, I gave to the mission or to the church and I became a beggar. Or I lost everything. Or I don't have anything. When we give, God always provides our needs. I would like to tell a small story about it. I always like to tell stories. There was a man in India. He's a shabby man. His clothes were dirty, long beard and messy hair and torn shoes. And he went to one small room, house, and knocked the door. And the door was open. There were four students staying in that small room. They had come for education purpose in that town. They were from a small village area. So this man had a small basket full of vegetables. And obviously he wanted to sell those vegetables there. And those guys said, well, we don't cook here, and so we don't want your vegetable. But somebody from that, four of them, he said, well, let's buy something, in order to help him. They bought some vegetables. And then this old man left. Again, he came back next week, Saturday, because during the week, these guys wouldn't be at home. So he came Saturday, knocked the door again. This man was standing there with vegetables to sell. So again, they bought something, just in order to help that old man. And so every Saturday, this old man would come to their place. And now they became a friend. An old man started to talk to them. And they asked him to come inside and sit and have tea and coffee. And then this old man started to share stories, telling them about God, telling them about God. And they were happy, they would listen to him. And one day, this old man said, well, I would like to sing a song for you. I said, okay, sing. And he started singing song about God. God is so good. That song he started singing. And then one guy stopped him and said, sir, you said your God is good and you're singing that song. Tell us how your God is good. Tell us. Tell us. Then the old man stopped and he said, well, I live in that slum area. I have a very small room, just 10 by 10, very small. I do not have family, I do not have kids, I do not have my relatives, nobody. I'm alone. I stay there. And this is how I make my living. In last month, nobody bought my vegetables and they went bad and I had to throw and there was nothing in my room to eat. Absolutely nothing. I drank water that night and I slept. And before I sleep, I prayed, Lord, I do not have anything to eat. Please give me food. Provide me some food. And next morning I got up and I opened the door and I saw small box in front of my door. I took that box inside and saw there was enough groceries in that box for next 15 days. And on the other side, There was pants, pair of pants and shirt and some towel and blanket in the other side. And so I'm so thankful to God because my God is so good. And that's why I'm singing this song. My God is so good. Praise the Lord. And then he started singing the next line of that song. And then he was singing, my God is so great. My God is so great. And those guys, they stopped him. They said, sir, your God is so good. You said, because he provided you whatever you needed. Now you are singing, you're singing that your God is great. So tell us about your great God. Then this man said, well, my God is really so great because, see, I took the groceries of that box, which will last me for 2 days. And I left other groceries in the box. I took a pair of pants from that box, and I left other stuff there. And I closed the box, and I took that box to the next family, which was my neighbor. And I gave that box to them because they needed more than I did. And so that's why my God is so great, because whatever he gave me, I could help other families. Really. That giving heart, helping somebody because God gave me. Yes, mission involves giving. And this church is involved in giving, that I know. And my church, where I came from, your pastor was in my church in 2013. And he met so many people and visited some other churches in my district there. Yeah, we... not because we are in India, because our churches are not financially well, it doesn't mean that we should not give. And others should give to us. It's not like that. My church is also involved in mission, because the word of God says that. And I shared this from the Bible. I said we have to give. My church is financially well. And so my church gives to the district to pay the pastor's salary. Right now, my church is giving 15,000 rupees per month to the district to help the pastors pay. And maybe you are saying, maybe that question is in your mind, why do you have to pay your pastors from your district? Because those churches are in the villages, small villages. Those churches are poor churches, small churches, new believers. They do not know much about giving, but they are learning. We are teaching them. Very poor people, even if they put their whole salary in the offering plate, this pastor will not be able to get his salary from their church. They are not self-supporting churches. So we, district, we have to help this church, pastors, to take care of their family. Their salary is not very big, but we pay. And that money, where that money comes from? My church gives. This church gives. Other people, other churches give. And so we can take care of pastors to pay from district. So mission. It's not like, this church is poor, they are not, close down that church because you cannot take care of yourself. It's not like that. We cannot do that because we have to share the love of Christ. What he is, what he can do, and what he will be doing for us in our lives. Go and tell people, be witness, baptizing them, making them disciple. That is our responsibility. And in order to fulfill that responsibility, we have to give. Give and it shall be given to you. Go, we must go. Send, we must send. And give, we must give. And there is a joy in giving. There is joy in giving. If you study the book of Philippians, and you will come across some beautiful verses. That's the privilege that has given to us to give, to share. And we do not give with complaint. In India, I don't know about here, but sometimes people complain or they are not happy. We can see by their face. Okay. But it's a joy to share. Because Christ lives in our heart and he makes us happy and joyous when we share with others. And mission involves prayer. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1 to 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that you may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. So I request you, if you want to be involved in mission, you pray. You pray for India. You pray for me. You pray for my district. You pray for my pastors. Because prayer is very important. When Peter was in jail, the church prayed for him. Church was praying for him, and he was delivered miraculously from jail. If you want to know the reference, Acts chapter 12 and beginning verse 5, you can read there how Peter was delivered from the prison. Because people were praying. Yes, I am asking you, I am urging you to pray for our ministry. Because there are lots of people in my area. They are far away from God. They are involved in all kind of immorality and sin. And they are away. They worship God, which is not God. They worship, statues and all that. So we, as a Christian, it is commandment from the Bible to go and to teach. Go and to make disciples. Spread the good news of Christ. So as much as we can, we should and we will be doing what God has called us to do. So mission involves a prayer as well. So please pray for our protection. Yes, many people ask me about persecution. Yes, in some part of India, there is a persecution. In my area, there is a persecution also. But if you stay within your limit, if you stay within your church, they are okay. But as you go out, and if you witness, or if you share Jesus to others, that's where the problem comes. That's where the people come and they will stop you. Or maybe sometime they will beat you. Or maybe even kill you. So, they are constantly watching churches. My church is been watched. Who come to church? Who do I baptize? Who those people are? They constantly watching. But the mission does not stop. The work of God does not stop there because somebody stopped it. Because somebody persecuting you, it will not stop. In the history of the church, if you read and if you know about it, wherever the persecution comes, the church grows. And that happens. Yeah. There is a persecution. There is opposition. Many Hindu organizations, they are watching constantly. But we have to do what we have to do. And we will be doing what we ought to do. And because the Lord is with us, we have to do very tactfully. We have to go one-to-one people and share the good news. We have Jesus film in my district. We go village to village and show that film. And people, they know about Jesus Christ. Then we start a small group there. And then maybe you say, how can you do that when Hindu people oppose you? What we do it tactfully. We go to that village and we talk to the leader. We talk to the leader. We have a cup of tea with him. And we ask his permission. And he feels so honored. Yeah, these guys are taking my permission. And he feels very honored. And then we say, well, we would like to show Jesus film in this village. Is it okay? We want you to come and attend. We would like to honor you in that meeting or in that show. And those people, they love it. And they, oh, okay, I will come. Then when we want to show that film, before we ask that leader to come on the dais, come on the platform, and we give him flowers, and everybody claps. And then we say, because of this leader, so-and-so, he has given us this permission, and we thank him and so much. And then he goes and sit and then watch this movie. And when the leader is there, and the people see our leader is on the platform, nobody dare to do anything about that. And then they watch the movie. And then we do not just show the movie and go away. We come back next day. How many of you? Yeah, you saw that movie. How was it? It was okay. Some says, oh, it wasn't bad. Well, I didn't understand. Would you like to know more about the movie? The more about Jesus? Okay. I don't have time today. Well, when do you have time? I have time. Oh, well, he cannot deny. Well, maybe in the evening. Okay, I will come. And then our pastors, they go. In the evening, they have a small prayer group, and they invite people. And this is how we start small group there. Then people, after 3 months, 6 months, that group grows. Some other people come. In villages, they do not have facility, or they do not have movie theater. They do not have internet. They do not have cell phone in the small villages. So they come. They have time. They come. And the small group starts there. And then if that group, if we think is ready for baptism, we ask for those people for baptism. Then we give them baptize. We baptize them, and then that's how the church starts there. So we right now in my district there are 45 churches in my district. Last year we started 10 new churches in my district. We baptized 135 people from Hindu background. And we added 200 people in my district, in my churches. So the Lord is at work, regardless of opposition and persecution. So I urge you to pray for mission. Pray for us. Pray for me. These are the basic things that I would wanted to share with you about mission. Mission. Now, again, mission is about going. Mission is about sending. Mission is about giving. And mission is about praying. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to my Indian accent and broken English, but I hope you understood the word of God. I have Indian accent because I'm from India, and when you people come, our pastor Wayne came there, I said, you have American accent. Well, you know, some of the things from seminary. When I was in seminary, a friend of mine said, Vinay, let's go and eat a hot dog today. And I was new. I never heard this hot dog or something. And I said to him, brother, I am from India, you see, and we don't eat dogs at all. Whether it is hot or cold, we don't care. So things like that, you know. So my experience, because coming from different culture, coming from different country, so many different things that, you know, we do. When I wanted to come to America in 86, we hear so much about America and all that. And I heard that in America, you just push the button and you get whatever you want. And I said, well, I want to really go to America and see how to push the button and how to get whatever you want. So here I was in the store. I have shared this story. Maybe some of you might remember that. That I was in grocery store with my another friend. And I saw milk powder. And I asked him, milk powder? I never heard about milk powder in India. He said, yeah, milk powder. You take water, stir it, you put some powder, stir it, and milk is ready. Oh, my God. Oh, wow, this is America, yes. Then I went to another place where I saw orange juice powder. Then my friend again explained me, you take this powder and put it in the water, you stir it, and orange juice is ready. Oh, my great. America is so great. Really, it's like pushing button and getting whatever you want. I never heard these things. Then I came to the place where I saw baby powder. And then I asked my friend, is this how you make babies? You take some water and add some powder and baby is ready in America. Wow, great America. In India, we make babies differently. Well, thank you so much and God bless you all.